I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God is good and all the time. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you very much for coming this evening. I realize you could be somewhere else using your time differently. You have chosen to give it to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the last part of that verse, the Bible says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And God does not lie. When you make God a priority, he reciprocates. As a matter of fact, he made you a priority before you made him a priority, because the plan to send Jesus was arranged long before you and I were born. But I give you that verse again. Them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It makes all the sense in the world to honor God, because when he returns the favor, it is all out of proportion to our expectations. Thank you for coming. Who is here for the first time? Any guests? You're not a Seventh-day Adventist. You're a guest. What's your name? Destiny. Oh, that's a lovely name. Jesus has a destiny for you, Destiny. Nice to see you. Who is the angel to your left? Well, she is an angel. What's the name? Nyla. What does Nyla mean? A what? Oh, princess. Well, of course, if God is her father, she is a princess. God is a king. Come on, say amen. What are you? A prince. God is your father. When I get into a car, the car automatically becomes a limousine. You know why? Because I am a son of God. Any house in which I stay becomes a palace. Why? I am a son of God. That makes me a prince. All right. Thank you very much for coming, my dear sister and your lovely daughter. Anybody else? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. We are nice people. All right. Okay. Aya, did I see a hand somewhere threatening to go up? No? No? Okay. Okay. Maybe there's someone who's shy that happens. For those of you online, if you're not a Seventh-day Adventist, we're delighted to have you. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us. We truly feel honored by your presence. Just before I jump into the message, which is how to have peace of mind, if you're not using one of these things, please turn them off. We live in an age where phones are almost indispensable. They're really not, but we treat them that way. And this is in the interest of reverence for God. The second favor I ask of you, pray for me while I'm speaking. I really mean that. All you have to say is, God, put your words in that man's mouth. Last time I met with you, I may have told you, sometimes when I listen to preachers on television, I literally ask God, shut that person up. I said, don't hurt the person, Father, but shut him up or shut her up. That message is dangerous. So I want God to put his words in my mouth. My words cannot save you. The words of God will change your lives. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth, and I do want to speak God's words. Favor number 3, think as you listen. Please. If people would think, they would not eat some of the things they eat. If people would think, they would not date some of the people they date. Are you listening to me? If people would think, they would not attend the churches they attend. If they would stop and think. Let's pray. Holy Father, I am made of dirt. Therefore, I need help to deliver divine words. I ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ, as a favor, even a humanitarian gesture, put your words in my mouth. I am not naturally wise. Consequently, I need wisdom from another source, and that's you. Tell me what to say. Tell me when to say it. Tell me how to say it, dear God. If I have offended you, forgive me, Father. Jesus died to make that possible. I present to you all those under the sound of my voice in this building and online. Bless them individually, Father, and put a double blessing on their children. Let my words that you give me have an effect on their minds, and let the response be a surrender to Christ, who legally owns their lives. Bless this country. Bless all countries represented by those watching, I pray. Now, dear God, use me as a musician uses an instrument. I offer no resistance. Touch the sick, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. What's our subject? How to have peace of mind. Let me tell you two things first. Before I get into the meat of the message, let's learn something about God. Go to John 14. We'll read from verse 1. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. If you have that version, feel free to read with me. Do we have translation tonight? No. That does not qualify me to go quickly, but I just thought I would ask. All right. John 14, I'll still try to go slowly. John 14, we'll read from verse 1. When you found it, let me know by saying amen. If you're still looking, say amen. Okay, you've all found it? All right, let's read together. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now carefully read the next statement. If it were not so, I would have told you. This is Jesus Christ. We can conclude that Christ or God tells us what we need to know. If it were not so, I would have told you. We have a God who does not leave us in the dark. If he does not tell us something, it's because we don't need to know it at all or at that time. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's what I want you to learn about God. He tells us what we need to know. And when he tells us plainly. Here's the second thing I want you to know. This is about the legal system practiced in the Old Testament. Let's go to Deuteronomy 17. We'll read verse 6. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. Our subject, how to have peace of mind. The fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, written by Moses. As was Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and almost all of Deuteronomy. The chapter on Moses' death clearly could not have been written by Moses. Do you have Deuteronomy? What chapter? What verse? You may read with me. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Let's look at that and try to simplify it. In the system that God gave the Israelites, if someone brought an accusation, you needed two witnesses for that accusation to stick. One person was not enough because you would simply have He said, she said. God said you need at least two for the statement to be regarded as established. At least two. Are you with me? At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Let's look at that principle operating in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. Go to Matthew 18. We'll read from verse 15. By the way, all churches should be intimately familiar with Matthew 18, 15 to 17. It tells us how to settle difficulties, how to handle disagreements, when one hurts the other, what to do. And it does not say go and talk about it on Instagram. All right, you have Matthew 18, reading from verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. What's the next word? Alone. That is step one. If he what? Will hear thee, thou shalt gain thy brother. Step one, go to the person who offended you, just you and the person. In other words, keep it as quiet as possible. Verse 16, if he will not hear thee, then do what? Take with thee one or two more, finish the verse, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Where did we first read that? Deuteronomy 17:6. So there's some legal element to the way we settle differences. Are you following me? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Our subject, how to have peace of mind. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We read verse 19. The Apostle Paul is writing to a young church leader called Timothy. He was very young when Paul put him in charge of churches. Scholars believe he was still a teenager. In other words, teenagers can be serious and not spend all their lives on skateboards. Are you with me? Teenagers can be serious if properly instructed. Timothy was a teenager when the mighty Paul saw him and called him to lead a church. 1 Timothy 5:19, read with me. Against an elder, what? Receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. If the accusation comes from one, it has no merit. We see the principle again, at least two for that statement to have value. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. We'll read verse 28 of Hebrews 10. Do you have that? Is that the truth? All right. Okay. Just checking. All right. Hebrews 10, verse 28. You may read with me. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy, finish the verse, under two or three witnesses. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read verse 1. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. You have that? Read with me. What does that say? This is the third time I am coming to you. Keep reading. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. How many texts did I give you that say that? Matthew 18, 15, 16, 1 Timothy 5, 19, Hebrews 10, 28, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. How many witnesses do we have that statement is true? We have four. But how many did we need? Minimum two. Now, having laid that foundation, let's go to Mark chapter 8. Keep the principle two or three witnesses in mind. Mark chapter 8. We'll read from verse 31 of Mark 8. Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. Neither was Luke. Do you have Mark 8:31? And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, come on, rise again. Put it in your own words. What does Jesus say in that verse? He'll be abused. He'll die. Then what? He will rise the third day. That's what he said. That's witness number one, but that's not enough to really believe it. Go to Mark 9. Same verse 31, but different chapter. Mark 9, verse 31. Do you have Mark 9, verse 31? Let me pray again. Father, as I continue, there, Father, speak clearly to me, I pray, and grant me the humility to listen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall do what? Kill him, and after that he is killed, what? He shall rise the third day. Is there any similarity between Mark 8:31 and Mark 9:31? Yes, Jesus is saying what? The same thing. How many witnesses do we have now? Two. Is that sufficient? Yes, for the disciples who have accepted it. Let's go to Mark 10, verse 33 and 34. Verses 33 and 34. You have Mark 10, 33, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and deliver him to whom? The Gentiles, being the Romans. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall what? Spit upon him, and shall kill him. Finish the verse. And the third day he shall rise again. Now this is repetition, if ever I have met repetition. But those of you who are teachers, you know one of the most effective tools of teaching is repetition. What did we learn about God when I began my remarks? He tells us what? What we need to know. The disciples needed to know that Christ was headed for a painful experience. Absolutely opposite to what they had in mind. What they had in mind was someone to deliver them militarily from the Romans. Christ is telling them, no, 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 get ready for a great disappointment. Are you with me? Long before 1844, I am going to be abused. I'll die, but I'll rise again. Now, let us go to Luke 24. What's our subject? Come on, you're too slow. What's our subject? How to have peace of mind. Luke 24. As you begin to read 36 and onward, you'll understand why I chose this topic. Remember favor number 3, think. You have Luke 24. We read from verse 36. And as they thus spake, referring to the disciples who were in an upper room hiding, because they thought what was done to Jesus might be done to them. So they were hiding, not worshiping, hiding. Verse 36 of Luke 24, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. 37, but they were what? Terrified, come on, and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. Now, there are two words that really apply to the message. What are the two words in that verse? Terrified, what's another one? Affrighted. Jesus asks a question, and he said unto them, verse 38, what's the question? Why are you troubled? The Greek word for trouble means agitated, to stir something up. You have a cup of herbal tea and nothing's moving. Then you put in a stirrer and you agitate and the thing moves. You see, here comes a little storm and it agitates the Lake Michigan close to where I live or whatever. They were agitated. And Jesus says to them, of course he knows why, but he wants them to think, why are ye troubled? What did he say to them first when he came? Peace. Peace. Their condition was the very opposite of what Jesus wanted for them. Jesus always wants for us peace. He demonstrated that himself on the lake in a storm. The disciples were panicking. What was he doing in the boat? Sleeping. Because he trusted his Father. And so he said to them, peace. At a time when his followers were not popular. At a time when he had just been crucified, now he's come back, they're not sure he's the real thing. He tells them, peace. We're living in a time when citizens are being detained and threatened to be sent to wherever, North Korea or wherever else. We're living in a time when officials raid certain places, grab people, send them away. We're living in a time when there's a threat of removing what is called habeas corpus. You lose your right to appear in court and make your case. We're living in a time when things are very uncertain. What does Jesus say to us? Peace. Let them panic. You be calm. Peace. And so Jesus said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Now, if you look at 37 again, read with me. But they were, come on, terrified and affrighted and supposed. What? They've seen a spirit. What did we read in Mark 8:31? Jesus said, I'll be abused, I'll die, I'll come back. What did we read in Mark 9:31? Jesus said, I'll be abused, I'll die, I'll come back. What did we read in Mark 10:33, 34? I'll be abused, I'll die, I'll come back. Three witnesses. What should have been the response of the disciples? They should have believed. Which means, you can answer the question, why were they troubled, affrighted? Why were they agitated? You tell me. They did not believe the plainly spoken word of God. I don't know what's troubling you. I don't know what worries you have, what anxieties you have for the future, for your children, for your family. I don't know. But if you claim to be a child of God, Jesus tells you tonight, peace. I said tonight, not after getting home and thinking, no, think where you're sitting. You can leave this place tonight with peace of mind. Are you with me? How to have peace of mind? Believe what God tells you. A few years ago, I was conducting a meeting like this, and a man came to me. He said, can God forgive murder? I said, yes. Why do you ask? I killed a man 25 years ago, and I don't think God has forgiven me. I said, did you ask him? He said, yes. I said, why do you not believe he's forgiven you? That man's condition is not unique or strange. You'd be surprised how many Christians walk around not believing that God has forgiven them. And they carry the guilt, they carry the burden, they carry what Jesus should carry. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. The Greek word is to bear, Pharaoh, to carry. When you carry guilt, you're doing Jesus' work. Don't put the Savior out of business. Let him carry the guilt. Let him carry the burden. Let him carry the sin. That's his work. Transfer that to him. How can you do that with confidence? Because he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from most unrighteousness. All. And for that man who spoke to me, that included murder, theft, bank robbery, genocide, you name it, infanticide, kill your own child. You name the horrible crime, it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we don't believe. The Bible never calls upon us to respond to God's word by feeling. Let me say it differently. The sixth commandment says, thou shalt not kill. Regardless of how you feel, don't kill people. Are you with me? You can't tell God, well, I felt like killing someone last night, and I killed two or three. God says, don't kill. How you feel about your ex-husband has nothing to do with it. Don't kill him. The Bible tells us, forgive those who offend us. Don't wait until you feel like forgiving. You may never feel like forgiving, but you're required to forgive. As Christians, we must learn to respond to God on the basis of, thus saith the Lord, and not how we feel. I live in Michigan. Our climate is similar to yours, our weather. In Michigan and other northern states, we have a condition that's not found in Florida or California or Texas or Arizona. It's called seasonal affective disorder. It's a result of being shut in all the time. It's cold, it's overcast, you can't see the sun. It's a condition. Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, you name it, you know, because of the weather. So when the sun comes out of the winter, oh, we're happy. Feelings change. It's raining, it's raining. The sun is shining, Thou shalt not kill has nothing to do with rain or snow or whether you were paid on time or whether someone broke off an engagement. Don't kill. Now, Jesus said, come to me. I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Not rest after having run a marathon. You don't need Christ to give you that rest. Rest from the burden of sin and guilt. He alone can give that rest. The Bible says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In other words, there's a peace that Christ gives the world cannot give. But there's a peace the world gives, it lasts until things go wrong. And so you have a good job, nice benefits, you have a company car, executive account, you fly first class everywhere you go, from, I don't know, Urbana to Champaign, you fly first class. That's an expense account. You're at peace. Then you get fired and you need a psychiatrist. The child of God is as peaceful with a bank account as when he's fired. Because that peace is based on thus saith the Lord. Someone wrote me last week, young man. He said, should I return a tithe if someone gives me some money as a gift? I said, yes. If the person gives you a shirt, estimate the value of the shirt and return a tithe. Because the shirt is increased. If someone gives you a car with only 2.5 wheels, estimate the value of the car and return a tithe. Are you with me? God has promised. Here's the word of God. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And what's the word? Truth. There is no other religion where the God of that religion calls little people to prove him. Only the Christian God tells us, test me. And he's so serious, he became one of us. My brothers and sisters, what am I trying to say tonight? How to have peace of mind. Take God at his word. The word of God cannot fail. Why do I say that? Let me pray that I'll take your mind back to Genesis. Father, as I continue speaking to those whom you love, simplify my language, I pray. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Genesis 1. We read verse 1. Now, surely you can read that verse without looking. Surely. Don't disappoint me tonight. We're on the internet. The whole world will see. Do you have Genesis 1:1? Look up where your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. Now say it. I saw you looking down, but God loves you. The Lord still loves you. He has a place for you in his kingdom. In the beginning, come on, say it. God created the heaven and the earth. Now, wait a minute. You may ask, how did he do that? How? I was in a gym in New York City a few years ago. I was doing a crusade. I like to go to the gym to stay fit. And this guy took a bottle and flipped it, and it landed and stood upright. So I went to him. What do you think I said to him? How'd you do that? Do it again. In the beginning, God created. Do you know how large the universe is? I am told by experts. Well, I read. Our galaxy is called what? The Milky Way. And there are billions of galaxies. Now I heard, last week I was watching a program, I like to study the stars, that kind of thing. There may be trillions of galaxies. Surely billions. Ours is one, the Milky Way. The experts say to cross from one end of our galaxy to another is traveling at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. Per second. Traveling at that speed, not stopping for gas or bathroom breaks, would take you 200,000 years just to cross our galaxy. To travel to the sun at 60 miles per hour would take 17 years. To travel to the moon, 60 miles per hour, no stops, 6 months. And the moon is the closest thing. And there are billions of galaxies. Now imagine how vast the universe is. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I ask the question, how? And Jesus says, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to verse 3. Are you at verse 3? Read with me. And God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. Look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament. Look at verse 9. And God said, it is verse 11, and God said. The answer to the question, how did he do that, is plainly and simply by his word. Let that sink in. He only spoke. And the universe came. The same God who said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same God who said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's the same God who said in Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's the same God. And the same word which brought light, that was it powerful and effective? But call upon me in a day of trouble. It's as powerful as let there be light. It came from the same source, God. Now God tells you and me, trust my word. Do what I say. Believe what I tell you. That becomes the foundation stone of a peaceful life. So while a lot of so-called believers are worried about what will happen in the economy, what will the government do, the true believer understands Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, verse 25, and verse 32. The Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. The buck does not stop on the desk of President Trump. It goes on to the desk of God. That's what the word says. When you accept that, Daniel 2:21, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Not only in government, in conferences, in unions, in divisions, in the upcoming GC session, he removes kings and sets them up. We live by the word of God. And that brings to us peace in troubled times. And so Jesus said to the disciples, Mark 8:31, I must suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. I'll be killed. I will rise after 3 days. He repeats that in Mark 9:31. He repeats it in Mark 10:33-34, and the disciples did not believe him, even though he had three witnesses. Which means the word he spoke was established by Jewish law. So when he showed up, they thought he was a ghost. When you do not believe the word of God, you will misidentify reality. You will look at God and think you're seeing a ghost. You may look at sin and think you see righteousness. They thought they saw a ghost. But God is so gracious. Say amen for God. Even though they didn't believe him, he said, behold my hands and my feet. He did not hold a grudge. He began to go the extra mile to convince them what I said in Mark 8 and Mark 9 and Mark 10 is what you're seeing. Look at my hands, my feet. What was he showing them? The marks of the crucifixion. It is me. They still didn't believe. He must have said, what can I tell these hard-headed people? He said, you have some food? Because ghosts don't eat. Bring me a vegetarian burger and some fries. And they brought it to him. The Bible says he devoured it in their presence so they could see, I'm not a ghost. I'm not Casper, the friendly ghost. I eat. Why? Trying to let them know, to convince them to prove I am real. He also said, handle me. Tonight, you ought to handle God. Not physically necessarily. The more effective way to handle God is by faith. When Jesus first appeared to the disciples in John 20, Thomas wasn't present. Jesus left. The disciples told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He wanted evidence from his senses. That's how scientists work. Atheistic scientists, that's how they work. I must see it, smell it, taste it, touch it, or hear it, or it does not exist. In other words, I must be able to measure it somehow. Jesus told Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so Jesus says to you tonight, the higher form of faith is faith in what we have not seen with our eyes, but what the Bible tells to us. Believing God's word is a higher form of faith than proving something with the senses. And so Jesus said to Thomas, there's a special blessing on those who simply believe, thus saith the Lord. And Jesus tells you and me, let not your heart be troubled. There is no place in the Bible where God's children are called upon to be scared. From Genesis to Revelation, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. You and I cannot handle the government. We cannot handle our local leaders. We can't manage the city council, the county council. How can we manage the government? God can. Let me tell you something. I'm closing. God overthrew the Babylonian kingdom in one night for the sake of the Jewish people, so that he might introduce Cyrus as a leader, and Cyrus was used by God to release the Israelites. Let me say it again. For the sake of the Israelites, God overthrew a kingdom in one night. Psalm 105, verse 14 and 15. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not the Lord's anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He cursed the Egyptian kingdom when Pharaoh took Sarah in defending one man, Abraham. God is no respecter of persons. He does not change. What he did back then, he's prepared to do today. As I come to a close, my beloved friends, with the subject, how to have peace of mind, I offer to you the word of God. Simple. God calls upon you and me, trust a word that created the universe. Are you with me? Trust a word that created the universe. How many of you will say tonight, Father, help me to take you at your word. Can I see your hand? Do you really mean that? Stand up with me. Is there some area of your life where you doubt God? If you do, apologize to God for doubting him. To doubt God is to call him a liar. 1 John 5, verse 10. To doubt God is to call him a liar. And God does not lie. Numbers 23, 19, Titus 1, verse 2. God cannot lie. If you've been doubting God, tell him, Father, I am sorry. Increase my faith. And God increases your faith as you go back to his word and study it. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for the simplicity of thus saith the Lord. Thank you for the sincerity of those who listened, and their willingness, Father, to put their trust in your word. You created heaven and earth by your word. You raised Lazarus by your word. You healed the sick by your word. Matthew 8:16 tells us Jesus cast out devils with his word. He forgave the woman taken in adultery with his word. It is all by the word. And that word tells us, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Your word says in Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man or flesh can do unto me. Your word tells us tonight, Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in him. And the only way to trust in you, Father, is to trust your word. Let us leave the determination to trust your word, believe your word. This is the foundation of peace of mind. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl who listen to God. Bring us back tomorrow night, Father, to listen to your word again. Take us home safely. Let mighty angels protect every home, Father. A special blessing on all our guests in this building and online. Thank you, Father, for freedom of worship. Be with us tomorrow as we gather in this building again. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Before you sit or you leave, what will you take from the message? Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have what he saith. Do not doubt. When Peter was sinking, Jesus saved him. He said, why did you doubt? When the Ethiopian eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, don't doubt. Even if it looks reckless, don't doubt. Believe. God cannot honor doubt. He honors faith. Somebody else, what will you take from the message? Yes, my dear sister. Only God can give peace that lasts now and forever. The peace of God is not shaken by politics or economics or broken relationships. God's peace always exists regardless of what's going on, because it's a peace that comes. You see, that peace is really the presence of Jesus in you. Jesus doesn't send you peace by UPS. He is the peace. He is the peace. Somebody else, what will you? Yes. Ah, blessings upon you, my handsome young brother. God tells us what we need to know. Are you following me? God told us one husband, one wife. We need to know that. God tells us the 7th day is the Sabbath. We need to know that. If there were changes, he would have told us. God tells us what we need to do. And I hope God is telling you, come back tomorrow night. Somebody else. I see your hand. Somebody else. What will you take? Yes. Believe what God tells you. This is how I like to express it. If you watch my sermons, you probably saw me do it. What color is this case? Black. If the Bible says it's white, what should you say? Come on, talk to me. What should you say? Even though you see black. If the word says this is white, even though you see black, you must say white. Why? The Bible says it's white. Now, the world may call that recklessness. God calls that faith. Two more. What will you take from the message? Raise your hand and yes. God can do anything he wants. He has that right. Anything he wants. What he wants to do more than anything else is save us. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Put your name in that verse. The Lord is not willing that whomever, Timothy or Mark, is, God does not want you lost. One more. What will it? Yes. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. With how much of your heart? All of it. I saw a hand back here. Yes.
Wait on the Lord and rest in Him.
Wait on the Lord, rest in Him. Now, when you rest in God, you don't rest idly. You rest prayerfully. You rest studying. You don't rest idly. There's no idleness with God. You rest actively. Can you say amen? Mm-hmm. Yes, sister.
Tell a person you're sorry. Mm-hmm. And tell them that you take a witness the second time.
Oh, yes. Forgive no matter how you feel. Tell someone, you hurt me, I forgive you. No matter how you feel. Forgive, because a person who does not forgive cannot be saved. And the person who you need to forgive may be the person who sleeps next to you at night. Don't look so depressed. All right, somebody else. One more. What will you take from the message? Yes, my brother.
He's in control.
Yes, God is in control. Mm-hmm. The politicians may think they are. Mm-mm. God is in control. When Nebuchadnezzar got too big for his britches, as we say, God struck him down. 7 years he lived how? Like an animal. Verse 34 of Daniel 4, until he raised his eyes and acknowledge God, his reason returned to him. Mm-hmm. One more. Keep saying one more. One more. Yes. If we do not believe, thus saith the Lord, we will misidentify reality. Remember Eve, God said, don't eat, you die. She didn't believe him. And so the Bible says when she saw that the tree was good for food, it was not good for food because God said, don't eat it. She misidentified reality by not trusting God's word. You don't trust God's word, thou shalt not commit adultery. You look at a man who's married and you see your husband. You misidentify reality. You didn't hear what I said. You look at a married man and you say, that's my husband. Misidentify reality. Why? Will not trust. Thus saith the Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let all God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.